You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And God and Father, thank you for your word, Spirit of God, for your person. Lord, thank you for who you are and what you've done. So put it all together for us, that Father, you might be honored. And our God, we're going to thank you as we think of Pradesh and across the world, of thy people. God, thank you for being there. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we share together the 11 disciples in the upper room, having a very, very, very special time with the Lord, and they were the ones to have the special time. But they were not yet ready to understand what was happening. It was all happening very quickly. The hour had arrived. They did not understand. And in the light of it, they were told the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John wrote that just before the turn of the century, 100 AD. But they didn't know that. They didn't understand that at all. And therefore, they were experiencing with very troubled minds very troubling moments. The moments were awesomely difficult. He's going to leave and die. They are left alone, prison, etc. Death even, persecution. It was a very troubling, troubling moments. And he did, oh, so wonderful, wonderful to encourage them and stimulate them. Now, all the encouragement and all the stimulus isn't very good if you don't receive it, if it doesn't mix well with your heart and come out good. So the benefit, it's like eating food that doesn't digest. It's no good. And therefore, all of these wonderful words and all this wonderful truth is there. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and the awesome truth, to say the least, we've been looking at it. Now, so we moved in our study in the upper room to John chapter 14, and we shared last time verse 28, etc. You have heard how I said unto you, verse 28, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And we shared that in some detail, and reminding ourselves, as we did it, John chapter 14, we shared together, verse 28, if ye love me, in the middle of the verse, if you love me, and the word if is in the second class condition. And you don't. You don't love me. Imperfect. You haven't loved me, and you are not loving me. They're there. He said, you aren't loving me. Wow. That's what you're not doing. He made it very simple, straightforward. You're not loving me. You're with me. You're committed to me. You're willing to die for me, with me. But you're not loving me. Now, remember, as we did all that, while you're here, John chapter 13, and in verse 1. 13 and verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, this is the beginning of the upper room, when Jesus knew that his hour, his death, was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, God, that's how he loved them. He loved them. And they had to enjoy being loved. That's very hard in the true sense of love, because love wants the highest and best. And you have to want to be loved. And if you want to be loved, and you have to receive the love. Love is being given by God. God so loved us. Is being given. The love is here. God gives us his love. Am I willing to receive his love? Am I going to let him love me? If I let him love me, what's going to happen? I am going to love him. We love him because he first loved us. If I let him love me, I'm going to love him. I want what he wants. I look for what he is after. I'm loving, loving, loving. But if I don't have that, I'm with him. And I really don't, I'm there. And all the wonderful things, and I'll fight for him and whatever. But I don't understand. God has a wonderful, wonderful person, a wonderful, wonderful will for each person. He loves them. He loved them all the way, forever. But they just didn't get that, couldn't understand it. And often, dear people, you know, it's hard to be loved. I know that. Because then you have to want to understand God's going to love you for all, and you're going to let him love you and bring out of you, just think of Sunday school with growth, God's going to bring out of you all of his wonderful will. And that means change, dynamic, awesome change. Dynamic changing, changing. Not this week, a process of change. A whole life is changed. You're in love. Wow. You didn't fall in love. You are in love, in the middle of it. And you're letting it happen. That wasn't happening. If you love me and you don't, now hang on to that part, that's important. You would rejoice, verse 28, you would be glad. You would be very glad. I'm going to the Father. And we shared last time, you'd be all excited that I'm going to go out, be crucified, rise again. I'm going to go to the Father. I've been telling you that, chapter 13, all the way, each reading, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's what I'm going to do for you. And when you look at me, the Lord Jesus said, which you don't understand, I am the Father. I'm going to make it possible for you to have a relationship to who I am by way of my Son's death, burial, and resurrection. But they didn't understand that. They just didn't get it. Therefore, this present hour has come upon them. And verse 29. Now, he's going to say some statements that have to be made. They're encouraging, but they're direct. Firstly, verse 29. And now, remember, they aren't loving him. They aren't rejoicing. They don't understand. So he's saying some things, 1, 2, 3, 29. And now I have told you before it come to pass that when it is come to pass, you might believe. I have told you all these things before it comes to pass so that you would believe. Now, over to, turn the page, chapter 13. Chapter 13, and you remember, verse 19. 13 and verse 19. And now, remember the context each time, and now I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. You don't know who I am. But I'm telling you now all these things so that when it happens, you'll know. I told you. You just didn't believe. I want you to believe. But you haven't believed yet. Therefore, chapter 14 and verse 26. Remember, we share together the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, the Comforter. His wonderful ministry is to what? To bring everything that I've told you that you forget, that you could never remember, but I remember it. And the Spirit of God will rehearse all that I said to you. That's why they could write the Gospels. The Spirit of God will dictate, will help you understand all that I said. Wow. Now, and therefore, you'll know afterwards. You don't know now, but I'm telling you so that you'd be encouraged and believe. Now, and remember now, while you're thinking of that, oh, hold your finger here again, chapter 2 of John. John is writing, remember, 95, 96 AD, and he's looking back. So he's able to, in his writing the Gospel of John, which is his last pointing to everything about God, as we shared, historically, John chapter 2, and picking up, please, in verse 21. And he spake of the temple of his body, going to 3 days, going to rise again, and 3 days rise again. When, therefore, he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, all of this, the Lord is saying, you're going to remember. I'm going to bring it all back to your mind, what I told you. In that day, you're going to remember. And each time, you're going to say, well, that's what God said. That's what God said. What are you going to walk around with now? Do you understand God said what he means and means what he said? Wherever you go, that's what they're going to be able to do. We know he said it to us. And he said, and here it is. And they're confirming, affirming. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, that they might believe. They need to believe. I want them to believe. It's all about believing. I am who I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And I want you to believe. Well, you're right here, chapter 14, just to see it, to refresh your mind. Chapter 14, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Believe. I want you to believe. The whole issue is to believe. Give me credit for who I am and what I say and what I do. And you need to honor that and enjoy that wonderful one. I'm going to tell you these things, and I want you to know them. Now, remember now, our Lord's going to do that. Hold your finger here, and we'll do it a different way. Over to Acts chapter 1, book of Acts chapter 1. They're going to be able to have great assurance. Acts chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 9. If I can. Remember now, this is at the ascension, after 40 days, etc., resurrection. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's going to come back. Just like you see him go up, he's going to come back. And that's a wonderful thing. And that to understand that, that to understand, they saw him arise, go and to heaven. And they're going to be witnesses. Acts chapter 2, Peter, on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. And picking up, if I may, in verse 31. This is on Peter, day of Pentecost. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. We saw it. We heard him, and he told us we'd remember, and he's going to say it, so that what happened was happening. I told you it was going to happen. I told you. And we are his witnesses. We saw him go up. He said he'd go up to the Father. That's just what he did. And we're all witnesses. Verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. Now, so God, day of Pentecost, an awesome, awesome time. And God, you were doing what you did in a most awesome way. Therefore, you're going to remind the realities are all to be confirmed and affirmed. No doubt, affirmed, confirm, doubt. No doubt. No doubt. No question. You're going to make it real. Uh-huh, I am. I'm going to make the realities real. And that's what they needed. They didn't have it in the upper room, but they're going to have it on the day of Pentecost. Now, having said that, back to chapter 14. Chapter 14. And you will note the second thing, A, that to be encouraged, that everything they're hearing, it's going to all happen, and they're going to remember it, and God, the Spirit of God is going to help them make it very, very real. Now, therefore, verse 30, hereafter, or two little words, no longer, will I talk much with you. I'm not going to say much more. I have a couple of more things. We aren't going to have any more conversations. Conversations are all over. This kind of setting will be ended, all over. Not going to talk to you anymore. Hang on. Now, and verse 30, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Now, hang on to that thought, and hearing no longer, I'm not going to talk much with you anymore. Doesn't mean I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to talk much. We aren't going to have this kind of conversation. It's going to be all over. Why? Why? For the prince, the ruler of this world, present tense, is coming. He's coming. Now, having said that a little bit, he's coming. You need to remember about this. The Lord Jesus begins his wonderful public ministry. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And you will note chapter 3, verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, proof. Is this your Son? Is he who he is? Chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So God, the Holy Spirit, took the wonderful humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ and brought him, delivered him into the wilderness. What for? And who's waiting for him in the wilderness? The devil. The devil's waiting. And God delivers up his only begotten Son, whom he is well pleased, to the devil. Now, therefore, and therefore, as you read through, remember all the wonderful things that the devil tries to do for 40 days and 40 nights. And in the process, all the different temptations, and thou shalt, verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, and chapter 4, verse 3. And when the tempter came, the devil, to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made." In other words, there's no food, no water. Oh God, why don't you make these stones bread? Now the word "if" here, what did the devil say? "I know that you're the Son of God." Is there any question? The devil said, "I know you're the Son of God. And therefore, make these stones bread, since you're the Son of God." Now, and he's going to say that all the way through. Now, so we come to verse 8. "And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of this world, of the world, and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." If you go, I'm going to give you. I am the prince of the world, the ruler of the world. I am the God, 2 Corinthians, I am the God of this world, said the devil. I'm the prince of the power of the air. It's my system. All these humans are under my domain, in darkness, in death. They live there. I'm the boss, he said. But if you will worship me, I will give you these. And he was able to do it because they were his. So therefore, our Lord, now hang on to that. And remember our Lord said, verse 10, "Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Verse 11, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So the 40 days and 40 nights were finished, all finished, and the devil, the encounter is all over, devil takes off. Now, that's the beginning. 33 and a third years labor. It's the devil's turn again. But in between, no. At the beginning, by the way, who was able to have a chit-chat with the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights? No one. What are you saying? No one. I'm not going to be able to talk to you much anymore. Why? I'm having an encounter with the devil again. And I'm not going to... You guys are out there. I have an obligation. God's... Luke chapter 22. And in Luke chapter 22, picking up the thought, if I may. Now remember now, this is in the garden and all of it's taking place there. Now, so chapter 22, but remember they're going to go, they take him prisoner, they're going to do whatever. Now, for 3 years, you can't touch him. He has no army, no weapons, nothing. They're all against him. They can't get him. You can't get him. They're right in the middle. You couldn't touch him. No, you couldn't. No. They'd like to, but you couldn't. But now, you can. The devil, Matthew 4 in the beginning, God lets that happen. At the end, God lets it happen. That's why he has no time for the people. It's an encounter. His hour had come. Now, chapter 22 of Luke, picking up please, in verse 52. "Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders, which were come to him," remember they're all going to do what they do, the trial and all, "Be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me." Nope, you didn't. "But this is your hour and the power of darkness." And it's time now. You could never touch me until God gave you permission. And now it's your turn. And the trial, the mocking, and the crucifixion, it's the power of darkness, the power of the devil to do what he does at the beginning of his ministry and at the end of his ministry. And therefore, God always calls the shots. In God's time, in God's place, and the devil, with all of his awesomeness and power, is stuck. And thus, in John chapter 14, and in John 14, picking up the thought. So, in the light of that, I'm not going to talk with you much, no more, that I have. And the prince, verse 30, the prince, the ruler of this world, the god of this world, the devil himself, is going to go and do what he does. He could never do what he's doing if God didn't give him the right to do it. And therefore, God, you're going to let all of that, let that happen. I am. The hour had come. His hour had come. Now remember, our Lord, you led up to it so they would know. John, hold your finger just for a sec. John chapter 12. And in John chapter 12, he told them quite clearly. That's why in his prayer they could hear what he prayed, because he wanted them to hear. And therefore, verse 29, the people therefore that stood by heard it and said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes I wanted you to know that the Father, God is in charge here. Verse 31, now is the judgment of this world come. Now shall the prince, the ruler of this world, be cast out. Verse 32. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. What were you talking about, Lord? Verse 33. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Now God, the devil, has been going to give permission to the people to crucify him, Rome. Going to give the devil the right to rile up false trials and everything else. He's going to give that all into the hands of the devil. It is the hour. It is the hour for our Lord to face the Calvary's cross. Now, and what's going to happen? Well, the garden, the trials, the crucifixion. When are you going to talk to the disciples? Not much. I told you, guys, 11, guys, listen, you better listen right now, because after this, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. There's no place. I'm going all the way to the cross. Wow. Now hang on. And even in his resurrection, how much did you talk to them? Not much. Why not? You don't need to. All you're doing is, jumping way ahead, all you're doing, Lord, is what? I'm helping them understand I have risen. There's an empty tomb. They know there's an empty tomb. And I'm going to help them understand for 40 days that I'm God. And I'm going to go and show myself over here, just like you do. We shared it 100 times, over the years. Think of little kids, children in a crib. And they're there, and they see you, and then you... But you walk out of the room and they cry, where's mommy? And mommy pops back in and in and out. And pretty soon, the child doesn't need to see mommy, mother. Because she knows that he or she knows, the child knows the mother's there, even though they can't see him. Are you teaching them that? Absolutely. I'm helping them. I'm there and not there. There and not there. And then I'm not there. But I'm there. I'm not going anywhere. Wow. Now, so here we are, and the prince, is there, and God says, listen, he's going to be judged. No question about it. Now, in the light of that, and I'm going to go in the process here, in John, in the light of the world, and remember now, the prince of this world has nothing, chapter 14 and verse 30, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. He has nothing in me at all. There's nothing in me. So, you're going to find anything? No, the devil has nothing in me whatsoever. So therefore, God, what do we know? I'll just do a couple of things so you can see them. John chapter 8, while you're here, we did it. John chapter 8. And in verse 12, now think of the devil. Think of the devil. And in order to think of the devil and have that in your mind right now, while you're still in chapter 8, slide over to verse 44. Chapter 8 and verse 44. Now what did the people know? They didn't know him, but they were, the Lord said, I'm going to tag it for you where you guys are coming from, not the disciples, but the people. Verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He is a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. That's the devil. Now the devil, the Lord said, the devil has nothing. Cardinal number. How much? Zero. What can the devil do to me in any way, shape, or form? There's nothing he can do. Why is that? John chapter 8 and in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. What are you, Mr. Devil? Darkness. What are you, Lord? Light. How much darkness does it take to put out the light? You're thinking? You can't. All the darkness in forever can never touch the light. In Christ, the Lord, God, 1 John 1:5, God, in God is light. In him is no darkness. There is no darkness. So what hold can darkness have? None. In the light of darkness, it has no power. In the light of rightness, he's the right one, Matthew chapter 4. He's the right person to do what he's going to do. Now, how much wrong? How can you wrong deception when everything is right? Everything is real. Everything is true. How much power does error have? Deception. It has none. How can you deceive anybody if they know the truth? No matter what lie, no matter how you dress it up, you can't. It's true. You can't lie and get away with it. He has nothing in me. No light, no dark, no right for the wrongness. There's no wrongness, no badness, no only goodness. The Father's righteousness. There's no way the devil can do anything. Hang on to that. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. Now, and therefore, God, and you know, without turning there at Hebrews 4:15, God, he was tempted, well, we'll do it. Hebrews 4 and 15. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our weakness. but was in all points tempted, put to the proof, like as we are, yet without sin. It is nothing in me, the Lord said. Do you understand the prince of this world, your enemy, the one that the system you're under, Judaism, is serving? They have no, they has no, nothing. I'm free, totally free, and right, and light. There's no wrong. It has no hold in me. He has no hold. Well, how do you get a hold? You have to have something to grab onto. There's nothing in him to grab. There's nothing in him to grab and grip him. There's nothing there. Now, hang on. Therefore, in the light of that, he's without sin. And unbelief. Remember, sin gives our sinful nature, gives Satan an advantage. Our Lord had none. God, our unbelief, makes for spiritual blindness. He had no unbelief. He had an awesome, perfect relationship to Almighty God. Therefore, sin had no, unbelief had nothing, nope, nothing at all. Therefore, we shared John chapter 14. In verse 29, the disciples will be knowing, be encouraged. You're all going to be knowing. Verse 30, Satan is going to be showing. He's going to show what? He has no hold in me, part of me whatsoever. But, so when I go to the cross, you're going to realize I am the sinless Son of God, your perfect substitute. I am the right one. There is no wrong. There's nothing like Aaron the priest had to sacrifice for his own sin and then the sin of the people. But our Lord has no sin. And therefore, he's able to be the kinsman redeemer. Think of tonight. The kinsman redeemer. He's able to be our Savior and save us. Who's going to pay the penalty for all of it? He is. Now, having said that, and thus, you come to verse 31, chapter 14, verse 31. Therefore, in the light of you not loving me, but you're going to understand in the days ahead, be encouraged. In the light of the devil has no hold on me whatsoever, but I'm going to let the devil is going to go and crucify me. Now, don't get alarmed. Don't get all upset. It's going to happen. It couldn't happen if God doesn't let it happen. And if God lets it happen, boy, there's a good reason. Your salvation, clear and plain, saved to the uttermost. Now, John chapter 14 and in verse 31. Verse 31. But that the world, what's the world got to do with it? The world may know. What is the world going to know? What is the world going to know? That I love the Father as the Father gave me commandment. Even so I do. What is the world going to know? That I love the Father. This is the only place in the New Testament where our Lord says that. All the time, God the Father loves him. This is the first time and the only time it's recorded. I love the Father. Now, why did you say it then? Such a critical time. Yes, it is. Very, very. The Father. The world's going to know. What is the world going to know? That the Father, I am the Father, is the center. I came to represent God the Father, the only creator, the only God, the only Savior. I came to do that. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, and therefore, Satan, you know, is stuck, can't do anything. And in the process I am going to go to the Father. He gave me the commandment to do so. I honored his will and his word. Now, what did you want him to do? God sent his only begotten Son to be the Savior of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did that. Now, why did you come? It was the Father's will. Remember what we said about love. If you're going to be loved, it's going to change your life if you let it happen, and you're going to be loving God. Our Lord, in his perfect humanity, went, and God the Father loved him. He said, I only say the words and the works. All that I do is to show forth the Father. And therefore, in the light of that, here's the commandment. I keep the commandments. Over to John chapter 4. Remember, God the Father's will, you love him, you're going to be loved, then God's will is going to take place. And God's will is going to take place. And what is God's will? That Christ, before the foundation of the earth, God the Son agreed to go to the cross and die before this angel's created. He agreed. It was the Father's will, the command. And God, in all of his awesomeness, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God the Son came in the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, chapter 3. John chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. John chapter 4. If you keep turning pages, you'll find everything. John chapter 4. What did you do? What do we know? Remember, they wanted to give him lunch. They was concerned. He hadn't any lunch. The woman at the well. It's noon. And they had to go. The disciples took a trip to McDonald's down the street and bought something. And they were concerned. He hadn't had anything to eat. Or drink, as far as we know. Wow. Now, verse 34, Jesus saith unto his disciples, my meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So what are you going to do? That's what I'm going to do. What else do we know? Well, I want you to know, in the garden, Luke 22 and that, what did you know? In the garden, what are you going? You're going out the door to the garden, that's right. Going to cross the brook and go to the garden, going to do that. As it were, and when you do that, what are you going to do? I'm going to go. Peter, James, and John can watch it at a distance, a stone's throw. And I'm going to go, and the devil is going, I'm going to have to understand, I need to do the Father's will. I have to take darkness and death and all that goes with it in my own body, which is full of light and full of right and full of life. And I'm going to have to abandon light and right and life and take darkness in its fullness and death in its fullness and wrong in its fullness. I'm going to take that to the cross. In the garden. And therefore, he prayed, my Father, if this cup can be taken from me, please spare me. But if not, thy will, what? Thy will be done. The world doesn't believe. The world is going to know that what I did was not because of them. What I did was to, or the disciples, what I did was to honor the wonderful, glorious plan of God the Father. For me to come to earth, be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and rise again. and I will be Lord of lords and King of kings. And all the angels, the good guys and the bad guys, take note. God, because they're so superior, and we're but flesh and blood. Our Lord, flesh and blood, risen from the grave. Wow. Uh-huh. The world take note. I love the Father. I love His will. I do His will. It isn't about you. It's about my Father. Wow. You don't need to save me. No, I don't. You don't need to love me. No, we have a comparison. Someone else needs to be saved more. They're better than I am. No, it isn't about us. It's about the Father's will. That makes a big difference. Because we try to justify by reasoning about all kinds of things. Good and bad, right and wrong. That's how we analyze. To give ourselves a position. But if you take a position that you're dead in sin, there is no position except in the grave. There is no position. And we don't have it. We don't need a position. Christ didn't need a position. He was to honor the will and way of God the Father in a most awesome way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, therefore, Satan and his system is going to do what it does in its most awesome way. And the disciples are going to go through it. But what are they to know? They're to know for sure. They're to know that Jesus Christ is truly who He is. And He honors the will of God the Father. That's why He's going to the cross. And while you're here, do it quickly. Over to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified. God is glorified in him. And if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him." It's all about God being God and honoring God, His wonderful plan and will. To glorify himself. Our Lord knew that. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, now, so the devil's going to do whatever. Now, slide over, if you would, to John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, reminding God. Remember the world looking. So, God, what are you showing the world? That I love the Father. I love the Father. How, they understand that? Never, never. They all crucify him. They're going to rebel against him in the tribulation. That's right. But I want you to know I love the Father. So you have to understand where it's all coming from and why it's all happening. Because of God seeking to honor his wonderful person and glorify himself. Therefore, John chapter 17, the prayer, verse 21. That they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The world needs to know that they belong to me. And, verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, complete, whole, in one, oneness, a unique unity, oneness, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Why are you guys doing that? Because we love him. We love him. That's right. That's what we're supposed to do. They didn't have it then in the upper room, but they're going to love him. What do you want? I want God, it's you. It's all about you, God. Not about family, not about friends, not about health, wealth. No, it's about you. That's right. That's right. And you know what? It's a sure thing. Therefore, the devil has nothing in me. When you receive me as your Savior, I want you to know I'm going to demonstrate in your little life and mine, our little lives, we're going to demonstrate God's wonderful person. That what? He loves us. And we love him. And we want what he wants. God's will for our life. Huh? That's what it's about. Now, therefore, Romans closing. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, picking up and pleased in thought. God, what about us? Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So far, that's good. But, oh boy, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. God, it's where did the plan come from? Where did the Savior come from? God. Verse 34. In the light of God, being it all God, all about God, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. And who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? And by the way, why are we there? The devil has no hold in him. Nothing. Is there any way he can accuse? Think of Revelation 12. Is there any way the accuser can accuse and get away with it? There's plenty to accuse. But it isn't based about us. It's based about our Lord in us, our Lord and Savior, new creatures in Christ, if you would. It's about Jesus Christ in you, and the devil has no hold on him. Darkness has no hold. Death has no hold. And then, verse 36. Well, verse 35 better. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril? No. We're more than conquerors to him that loved us. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 36, 37. Verse 38. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor the devil himself, nor any things present, things to come, everything now, past, present, and future, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why it's safe and located, because it isn't in you. It's in him. And he is in you. And God loves him. And he loves God. That's why you're safe. As safe as can be. Wow. You know, we start looking at ourselves. Forget looking at yourself. Reckon yourself what? Dead. Yeah, dead. Wow. You don't have to serve lunch in the cemetery. Do you understand? There's no one in the cemetery that wants your hamburger. So if you want it all for yourself and don't want to share it, that's where to go. Go to the cemetery and have your lunch. And no one's going to want it because they're dead. God. So what do you do? God, in your most wonderful way, God said, listen, I want you to know nothing's going to separate you from my love. What was their problem? You have not loved me, and that's your problem. You need to be loving me so it all can happen. And you'd enjoy it, you know. Well, to be loved. You know, I don't want to even get into it. Do you understand? Love. Well, love. I know we talk about love. I love you. You love me. We can do all that. But those are words, and we use them. But to come to grips with what you're talking about, God, love, That's a whole other world, isn't it? Jeanette loves me, and I love her. And in the, I think we do, we? Yeah, we do. She shook her head. It's okay. No, it's all right. Now we do that. But you know what? I'm not trying to change her. I sit there and I say, Jeanette, I want you to do this and fix this and do that. That doesn't do any good anyway. But what I want you to do. I'm looking for God's will. Why we can love? Because God's loving us. That's why. Why can we love? Because God's loving us right now. And that's our safety. Do you understand? That's awesome. Our Father in God, thank you. Looking to you, God, Spirit of God, honor your word, honor your work. God, we just do a little bit. And Lord, you did so many wonderful things to make everything to be where it is, even this day, for us. So help us as we seek to understand yesterday in order that we might capitalize and benefit today. Thank you, thank you, thank you very, very, very much. Thank you for loving us. In Christ's name, amen.